It's a big week in FPL with big decisions aplenty. So should we be sacrificing for Saka? Who would be on our wildcard wish list? And yep, I'm as shocked as you. I actually had a pretty good week. Hi guys, welcome back to the FPL pod and welcome back, Julien Le Ron. Nice of you to be with us this week.
Hello Kelly, sorry I missed you last week. I could not be with you. It's good to be back. I won't lie, it's really good to be back.
Yeah, enough of those excuses, Sam. Thanks as always, as if you'd be anywhere else. We got through it, didn't we?
Yeah, we were fine, weren't we, Cal?
You missed me too. I know you did.
We had a very good replacement. Brilliant, Sam. Let's talk about the game week that was then. I'm going to be honest, Sam gives us a few notes because she's our kind of stats expert and everything ahead of the podcast. And she literally wrote on the top of it, Kelly smashed it this week. I don't often read out word for word what you put, Sam, but I couldn't resist putting that because it doesn't happen too often, let's be honest. My game week was all right. How about yours, Sam?
It was actually fine. It's just in comparison to yours, it feels like it wasn't. Udogie going off on 55. I have never raged as much at anything as I did that moment. However, the rest of them did fine. It's just not having Ollie Watkins every week is killing me. But it was still a really nice green arrow. It just feels not so great in comparison to yours.
So in context, I got 98, Sam got 84, Jules, you got 86. It's still a good game week.
Yeah, it's good, Kelly. And it's the second week in a row that Sam is bottom of our...
Here we go.
What?
You've only been bottom of my row.
No, I'm just saying. It's just like, you know, it's one of those things. It's okay. You might do better next week, Sam. I don't know. Seriously, 86 is... It's good, although there's a feeling... It could have been better because, as Sam said, Udogie... should have had 5 points, really, maybe even six instead of just the one. Even Matt Turner in goal, really, for a long time in that game, I thought it's okay. He's got that game without conceding and then two late goals. And you can always get better anyway, but I still take the 86. And like Sam said, as long as you get the green arrows, even if it's not exactly the total of points that you wanted in the first place, you still take it and you're happy.
Honestly, I think that going for Van de Ven because I didn't have enough money for Udogie has been one of the best things that's ever happened to me. And I did think of you, Sam, in particular, when he was coming off on Monday night because I was like, I know that Sam's got him. She's missed the Van de Ven goal and now she's got this. So,
I honestly have never raged at Spurs game as much as we were winning as well.
I nearly WhatsApped you and then I thought, now is really not the time to be doing that. Good news though, from Postecoglou after, he did say, Destiny felt a bit of tightness at halftime. We said we'd give it 10 to 15 minutes with a short turnaround. Once we got the second goal, it made sense to take him off. Sam, to me, that sounds more precautionary. Is that how you're reading that?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it's a serious issue. I think he felt a little bit of something. We were kind of winning the game by that point and had a two-goal lead. So made sense from a Spurs perspective to take him off ahead of the early kickoff on Friday evening. But yeah, as an FPL owner, it wasn't ideal.
I'm just going to run through who's in my team very quickly because I keep getting a bit of stick on social media. It's ever since Jules started to share his team, people are asking why they can't see mine. I don't share mine because I'm scared that I don't have 98 point weeks every single week. But because I have, I'll just quickly run through who's in it.
Okay. Because one good week and then...
I won't be reading it again. Turner, as Jules said, felt disappointed that he only got the 1 point. Burn, Cash, who was the other only other player to let me down. Van de Ven, then I had a midfield four of Madison, Son, Bowen, and Salah, who was vice captain. Alvarez, Watkins, Haaland, who I captained. And then I've got a bench that, contributed 3 points. So good job they weren't needed. Areola, Anderson, Taylor, and Lamptey. 1 week I'm going to need this bench and it's going to catch me out because there's not many points on there any week at all. Anyway, onto the FPL pod. Mini League and loads of you made my 98 points look pretty rubbish. Mohamed, manager of Malik United, leads the way after a huge 115 points, closely followed by Pravin. Mohamed had the same issue with Udogie, but Sam, what a week Mohamed had.
Yeah, every other player returned, which is exactly what you want, isn't it? He captained Son, so good captaincy decision that week as well. And it was just one of those weeks where everything goes right. The most notable thing, though, there's no Haaland in that team.
So it's interesting because we've talked about it before, haven't we? A few wildcards. And I know there's a lot of wildcards active this week. My other half, I don't know if listeners from last season remember, my other half, Max, had a storming season, finished inside the top 5K last year. He's not doing as well this year. It was a fluke. But he's just wildcarded and gone without Haaland as well. It's interesting, isn't it? That is there a case, Sam?
I mean, there is a case, but there's also a real risk that you get absolutely destroyed by the fact that he returns and you haven't got him. I mean, his ownership has now dropped to like 86%, given it was at 91, nearly 92 a couple of weeks ago. That's quite a significant amount of managers that have been selling him. So there's definitely a movement to do it. I just don't think I'm brave enough because, as we saw in the Champions League this week, at any moment, there's a brace in there for Haaland. And if he gets that when he's not in your team, then it's going to massively hurt.
Unless you've got a good replacement, it's always the same in this game. It's you cannot have him or not have someone as long as the guy you replace him with is as good or better. So if you believe that Watkins, Alvarez, and I don't know, let's say Gabriel Jesus for the sake of it, are good replacement and can counter what you won't get with Haaland, then go for it, of course. But like Sam said, there's obviously a risk because he is the best forward in the league. And even if he's maybe not the most in form right now, with him and with City, there's always a risk that he will score 2-3, even if he misses 2 or 3 chances still. So again, it's always who you get instead that you can be okay if you don't have Haaland. The thing is, it's still a big risk, of course.
He had his hair down post-match last night. And when he has his hair down post-match, I think he's back in business. He knows what he's doing. He's relaxing. He's relaxing back into the goals at a weekend. I just couldn't imagine the pain of a Saturday and the fear. Imagine every single Saturday kind of checking the City scores and hoping he didn't score.
Remember how bad it was when we didn't have Salah, Kel? It'd be worse.
Yeah.
And also that 1 week last season, it was around this time last year where I didn't captain him by accident because I was away on a hen do.
What do you mean accident? How is he an accident?
Because I was away on a hen do.
Oh, okay.
And I sorted my team and for some reason I didn't check the captain, which has never happened in I don't know how I did it still to this day. And he got I think he got a hat trick or something and it completely ruined. And ever since then, I think once you've had one bad experience with a player like that, you don't go back from it, you're scarred. And I'm certainly Haaland scarred for life. Anyway, talking of big decisions, that's definitely one of them. It feels like there's a lot in the community at the moment. It feels like a tricky one for me personally and for other managers because there's a lot of fixture swings, particularly for the likes of Arsenal and Brighton. So I'm not too surprised to see as many wildcards active as there are, by the way. Let's talk about some of these big decisions then. And we'll kind of maybe give an indication as to which way we would go if we were making these decisions. And I think some of us might be. Let's start in midfield, Jules, because once again, as we've said all season, there's too many good midfielders in this game, isn't there? We've got the likes of Son and Madison who are returning, both returned again on Monday. Now Saka is back fit. If we've got the likes of Salah, Haaland, Watkins in our team, it's very hard to get all of those expensive players in. So in terms of those midfielders, Son, Madison and Saka, who should we be going for? Or should we just find a way to get them all in?
Yeah, I mean, if you can find a way, you can. But if you also want more Salah, for example, like I have, if you have Son, Madison, Salah and that trio on top of obviously Haaland and Watkins, it's very difficult to get Bukayo in. He had those little niggles, then he comes back against Chelsea, has a quiet game and then at the end has the assist that saves his game, saves Arsenal's game too. For Trossard, who scored that equalizer late, and then you think, okay, it's just in a way too difficult not to have Bukayo Saka in a game. And now, considering the fixtures coming up for Arsenal, apart from the Newcastle game, which would be tough, of course, but the rest, they are good fixtures. It's a really good fixture list for them. So you can always have the Martinelli option, and we mentioned that before, slightly cheaper. You can have Martin Odegaard too, if you fancy, or even Trossard, who will probably be on the bench more than not, but always comes on the pitch, comes off the bench and has a really good impact as a sub. But Saka still feels like a premium without the price of a premium in a way. So if you can find space and money for him, I think now is the moment to either keep him or bring him back into your team or even get him if you never had him before. But it could be very difficult if you already have really good other options in midfield.
Have you got a plan to get him in? I know you love him.
I love him and I looked in it. It's just again, we go back to what we said for Haaland and quickly, it's all about the replacement. Right now, I would not get rid of Madison or Son or Salah for Saka or Watkins or Alvarez, who, by the way, didn't start for City in midweek in the Champions League, which means that he's going to start the derby on Sunday if you had any doubts of what Pep would do and Pep Roulette. And I would not right now get rid of Haaland to get Saka back in. So it's a no for me. But I could understand, especially if you have a couple of players in midfield who are not as firing as the ones I've just mentioned, why you would try to get him in.
Oh, Sam, it's tricky, isn't it? This is really tricky because we've talked, haven't we, about needing Saka from this week. If he was back fit, he's back fit. I almost could have done without Son and Maddison returning on Monday night. It would have almost made my decision a little bit easier. What's your plan?
The plan was always to sell Son for Saka. And then I sat and watched that Spurs game on Monday night and was like, I just can't sell Son ahead of the game against Crystal Palace. He's got such a great record against Palace as well. And Spurs can go 5 points clear at the top of the league if they beat Palace. What's better motivation for Son and Madders going into that game than that? And I think with the pair of them, like the one thing that you can kind of be assured of with Spurs right now is that if there's goals, Son and Maddison are going to be involved in getting them. So the points feel like they're almost certain. And I kind of did some comparisons between them. And there's so little to choose from between Maddison and Saka. Big chances created, Maddison wins that. Big chances, Saka and Son win that. Like, it's really tight. Even the penalty error touches, there's like nothing between them in terms of their positioning on the pitch. So choosing is hard. I'm going to stick with the two Spurs boys and not have Saka this week because, well, I mean, I said at the beginning, I've got a Watkins shape problem. We'll talk about him in a minute. But you can't have everybody. And I do look ahead to next week and the game against Newcastle and think that's really tough for Arsenal. Like, maybe I just hide behind the sofa when Arsenal play Sheffield United this weekend and invest in an Arsenal defender so that I've got something for that game, and then worry about Saka from game week 12 when hopefully Spurs, I can know which one to sell. Because that's the problem, is who do you sell of Maddison and Son?
Also, as a Spurs fan, as you said, hopefully Spurs, then I was thinking, well, she can't say hopefully one of them drops off in form because you don't want that to happen. But you almost want one of them to really take over the goal scoring burden or the FPL points burden, don't you? So it makes the decision a little bit easier. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, that would be ideal. If one of them could just go, right, I'm getting all of the goals from now on, that would be perfect. But that, of course, will not happen.
You want Son, in fact, we probably want Maddison to get all of the goals because he's a little bit cheaper. And then you want a different assist each week. We'll take, I saw, I'll have a Van de Ven assist 1 week. You can have an Adogie assist another week. Then maybe Kulusevski.
Or Richarlison could just start going mad and then we could all just get him instead and he's cheaper. That would help.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So you're not even tempted to maybe try and get a different Arsenal midfielder in?
No, I'm tempted. Like, and I honestly, Kelly, I don't know if you watched my Instagram stories yesterday, because I know you normally do. I spent so long just back and forward on them on what to do about this. And I just, even if I go for Martinelli, it still involves getting rid of one of my Spurs midfielders. And that's the issue, because I don't want to get rid of Bowen ahead of this fixture.
Do you have no way of being able to get rid of Diaby? Have you not got any extra money?
I do, but that would mean not having Watkins. And then that's no Villa attack. So this is where the dilemmas come, because I can get rid of Diaby. Yeah, absolutely. I can take him up to Martinelli. I can take him up to Saka, but then I can't have Watkins. Or I can downgrade Diaby and upgrade everywhere else, but it's not helping me get the two players that I actually need, which is Saka and Watkins, and also, or Martinelli and Watkins.
Look at me, has 198 point week, Jules, and there's me advising our expert on the podcast. Why don't you just get rid of Diaby?
nothing less than I expected from you guys, which is great.
Diaby's got Luton.
I was actually trying to help.
Luton and Forest.
I was also actually trying to help because I'm like you, in trying to look and upgrade a midfielder. Unfortunately, Sam, the midfielder I would need to upgrade is Elliot Anderson. So that's how
that's
well my Saka.
That's a long upgrade.
I'm still Jules, you said about Alvarez starting in the Champions League for City. I was kind of hoping he did. And then I was tempted to downgrade Alvarez, and then I would have probably upgraded maybe Bowen, although that doesn't feel very nice to sell either. So
is that the Jai Bowen who apparently was given a goal for him against Aston Villa at the weekend? I'm just saying.
I was so careful not to mention Bowen in the introduction to this podcast, and I rattled through my team so quickly that Jules barely heard me say the word Bowen. Because, of course, you got a bit salty on social media, didn't you? And you tweeted about it.
It's another petition that I'm going to send around for people to sign to send to the game. The second assist, you know, you should get.
I'm not signing.
Jules, I just got an email from the Premier League and they said, be quiet, otherwise we'll get someone new on the podcast. Anyway.
And that shot is off target. His shot is clearly off target, and the deflection from Pau Torres, it goes in like
Jules,
that.
Jules, come on.
No one likes a bitter FPL manager. Okay, on to some other big decisions this week then. I think the Saka one is probably the biggest one that I've seen people talking about. But also, if we're trying to find all the money for Saka, we're also trying to find money for Salah. We spoke about Haaland before as well, Jules, and the fact that some people are going without him. But Salah versus Haaland, or is there no versus for you? You just have to have them both.
Really, you should have them both. And when you think that Mo Salah, for example, is playing Forest at home and then Luton away. So the reverse fixture to Villa, by the way. Villa.
Why do they all have nice fixtures at the same time? It's not fair, is it?
Exactly going to say the same thing, Kelly. It would be so easy if it was not like that. So if you can have them both, I mean, Mo Salah really should have been the captain for every Salah owner this week. And for
when
some
are we going to learn? When are
you
we
know what? I know I do it all the time, and I promise you it was the case. And you know, being away with no Wi-Fi was difficult enough. But I swapped. I had Son at some point, then Salah, and then in the end, I just looked at the Brighton defense and all the underlying stats. I said, okay, Haaland is going to have a feast here.
Yeah, same.
And obviously, until the 75th minute or something in the Merseyside derby, we were good with Salah not doing actually that well and not returning, and then. Boom, two goals. So you're right. Where are we going to learn? I don't know. I think he will be my captain this week, Mo Salah. But he's just in that kind of form. And again, it was such a vintage Salah performance in a way that it's one of those games where you just know he's going to score at some point. You just can feel it. And he's become again that player that maybe the last two seasons he was just not exactly like that, but from previous years, just an outstanding finisher and player for Liverpool.
Yeah. It's tough. He's my captain as well. I just checked. My team isn't completely set because I haven't 100% decided on Saka, but I just checked. I have put my captaincy on Salah early on. I actually think I might have done that on Saturday. Just like, I can't let this happen to me again. Sam, do you agree on the Salah v Haaland?
Yeah, I think you have to try and have them both. I would not want to be without Salah for the run of fixtures that Liverpool have going on. I don't think that there's anyone else in that Liverpool attack that can cover out Salah's points. And you can argue that you could have Alvarez instead of Haaland and do it that way. But I think ideally you want to have them both. So I think Salah is becoming one of those captaincy options again that you kind of look at every week, and you have to look at him quite seriously, particularly over the next couple. I mean, Nottingham Forest this week makes a lot of sense. I should have been a bit braver with the captaincy this week. I was going Madison all week, and I put it on Haaland on the pod last week because I just kind of was like, I don't think I can watch that Brighton game. But yeah, I think Salah's the best captaincy this week. When you look at the underlying stats between them, again, there's not a lot in it, and there's not a lot in it because they're the most expensive players in the game for a reason. So you need to try and find a way to have them both. If you can really, really only have one, then I would have Salah over Haaland, but I wouldn't want to.
No, me neither. I think we're also saying that because we've been scarred by Salah so far this season as well. And we now know we can't go without him. Okay, so tricky decisions everywhere. Sam, we already touched upon this one when I said about, say his name quietly, Jared Bowen, but also Diaby and Mitoma. And Mitoma's a really interesting one because I hated getting rid of him on my wild card. I love watching him play. I've said it on this podcast before, one of my favourite players in the Premier League. I think he's often at the heartbeat of everything that Brighton do well going forward. Even when they don't play well, he often gets returns. The fixtures have changed. I just can't get him in. I think a lot of managers are going to have the same problem.
Yeah. I've got Diaby and Bowen of these three. Diaby, look, I love Diaby. I've been ranting about him for what feels like forever now. However, in recent weeks, it's become quite clear that Ollie Watkins is the way to go if you're going to invest in the Aston Villa attack, or even Douglas Lewis with the way that he's playing. And his home record this season is literally obscene.
I was going to say, I actually nearly tweeted when he scored, did he get two at the weekend again, didn't he? I nearly tweeted, apologies on behalf of the FPL pod and the fantasy show that we have spoken so much about Villa in recent weeks. And what is it, six home games in a row he's scored in now?
Yeah. Mm.
We almost haven't given him the respect and the recognition. We've just been so obsessed with Diaby, Watkins and Cash, really. We haven't even acknowledged that he's an option.
Yeah, and he's definitely an option. He's 5.5? So he's massively cheaper than investing in these, and he's got penalties.
Yeah.
So he is an option. So like, that is one thing that I have looked at, is that you could go with Douglas Lewis instead, and that saves you a million or over a million. I think between these three, it's tough. Jared Bowen, for me, is the I'm going to upset Jules here, but he's the one that I think is kind of essential of these three right
they
now.
They give him goals when he doesn't even score them. So, of course, he's a
great option. Why did you bring it up again?
Well, I think you kind of have to. Of these three, he's top for expected goal involvement. He's top for expected goals. The only thing that he's bottom four is chances created, but even then it's not like he's not creating at all. And in some ways the fact that he's bottom for chances created in that list is testament to where he's playing on the pitch and the fact that he's basically West Ham's most advanced player most of the time, and he's the one that looks most dangerous. And the fixtures for West Ham are so nice,
yeah,
that not having Jarrod Bowen, Jules,
I know, you can't have everyone though. And again, it's what Kelly was saying earlier, why, yeah, all those players have good fixtures. And again, football is always unpredictable anyway, but still, for both Villa and West Ham, the fixtures look good for them, which you would almost not want to. You would want one of those two teams to have tough games. So you say, okay, look at his fixture list. Let's, yeah, get rid of Diaby and get Bowen in, for example, or the other way around. But now, even the fixtures are against us in the sense that it makes it even harder to choose which one to go for because they both have good fixture lists.
We are the most indecisive podcast in the world today, aren't we? But I think this probably reflects how managers across the world are feeling right now. Let's go into defence then, because as Sam said, maybe we can't get in an Arsenal attacker. Maybe an Arsenal defender is the way to go. So then there's the age-old debate, it feels like. Do we go for Gabriel or Saliba? And of course, a lot of people have money tied up in a Spurs defender. Is it time to maybe go from that Spurs defender to the Arsenal defender, Jules? And which one do we go to?
Good question, Kels. I mean, even Spurs fixture list coming up is, apart from, I guess, maybe the Chelsea game could be tricky. But apart from that, until the City game on game week 14, it's a good fixture list too for Spurs. So you could, there's a case for keep Udogi, keep Pedro Porro, keep Van de Ven, keep Romero, keep Vicario, all of that, instead of swapping for an Arsenal defender, because as we said, it's Sheffield United at home at the Emirates this weekend, but after that it's Newcastle away. So I don't know, I would, as you know, I've got Saliba, I would keep Saliba, I would always go for Saliba. I'm completely biased, of course, and what we saw in the first half at Chelsea on Saturday was not good from a defensive point of view, from I mean, he's a bit unlucky on the penalty, but from him and from Arsenal as a whole, they would be better against Sheffield United, and really they should not concede in that game. But as we saw against Sevilla in the Champions League on Tuesday night, there's also the defensive set pieces that they're not always maybe at their best. So right now, if you ask me, would I swap Udogi, for example, for another Arsenal defender, considering I already have one? I'm not sure I would.
Well, that says it all, Sam, doesn't it? If the Arsenal fans saying that, I'm not going to be rushing personally to get an Arsenal defender in. Maybe that's because all of my money's in attack though, and I can't really afford to. But where do you sit on this debate?
Well, this is kind of weird because I think I am going to do this and swap my Spurs defender for an Arsenal one.
The world's gone mad.
What is happening?
Even with Newcastle in a week time.
Yeah, because the way that my team is, I don't necessarily need to play Gabriel, who I'd probably go with because the budget stuff means that Saliba's just a bit more difficult. Like, I can just bench Gabriel next week and play Tsimikas instead. So the way that I'm kind of looking at it is that Udogi, the fixtures are, like you say, Jules, they're nice for Spurs, but we are coming up against some teams who could score goals, probably not this week with Crystal Palace because they haven't been in the last three games in the Premier League between these two sides. Spurs haven't conceded. So I do think there's a clean sheet this week. But when you look at the stats for the Arsenal defence versus the Spurs one, Arsenal have conceded less big chances. They've conceded less attempts. They've conceded less shots on target. They've conceded less open play goal attempts. The Arsenal defence is doing a better job of defending than the Spurs defence is right now. So that doesn't mean Spurs defence is doing badly, by the way, because actually the Spurs stats are still really nice defensively. It's just that the Arsenal ones are better. So when I'm kind of thinking about my defenders, my key priority with any defender that I bring in is, are they likely to keep a clean sheet this week or over the next few weeks? And I think Arsenal have got more clean sheets in their locker in the next four or five in comparison to Spurs. And that's why I'll probably make that swap. It won't necessarily be because there's a massive standout difference, but I just think that it's good to cover everybody. And Sheffield United this week feels like an absolute banked clean sheet for Arsenal. I've probably jinxed that now.
Have you also, like me, got two free transfers this week, so you kind of have to make one or you're wasting it?
Yeah, I mean, Kel, I've got so many things I need to do with my free transfers though this week. And the other option is that I don't go with either of these defences and I just get Simicass this week. That frees up more budget. That makes it easier to get to Watkins. So I am, again, a little bit at sea with what I'm going to do this week, because I do think if it came to a straight choice between Udogi and an Arsenal defender, I'm erring on the red side of North London for that, because I'm planning to keep the white side in midfield, if that makes sense.
Yeah, covers, you're trying to have cover. Yeah. I understand that. I do understand that. Okay, well, managers who are wildcarding this week have got all of these dilemmas and more, but equally have unlimited transfers. Who would you say, Sam, if you were wildcarding now, who are the must-have players to own? Ollie Watkins, maybe?
Ollie Watkins.
Bukayo Saka?
Oh, yeah. If I was wildcarding, I'd get Watkins and Saka. Oh, I don't have either of them. That's a bit of a problem, isn't it? Salah. I think you have to have Salah on that list, don't you? I'd put Haaland in there as well. I'd have Son in there. It's going to mean that their bench is going to look very much like yours, Kel.
Nothing wrong with my bench.
And mine.
Well, there's actually plenty
there's
wrong with my
bench.
Yeah. That is the problem, isn't it? It does feel like now, all of a sudden, at the beginning of the season, when the premiums perhaps weren't returning, what was it? What game week was it? We sold Salah, maybe game week 8 or something, Sam? I can't remember when it was. But back then, we were like, wow, we've got loads of budget. I'd like 3 million in the bank for a few weeks. It's kind of gone on its head now, hasn't it?
It has. But then also, at this point, we have got a load of like cheap. So like with Simicass coming in at 4.4, like I'd put him in the essential category on wildcard. If I was wildcarding this week, you'd 100% have Simicass, because it's a little bit more money than the 3.9s that you invested in on your wildcard, Kel, but he's going to play every week while Robertson's out. When Robertson's not started in the Premier League, Simicass has started every single game. It's 19 games. It's madness.
So you're not worried about Klopp saying, we've got Gomez, we've got other players that can play there? You think that was a red herring?
I don't know who can play there, to be fair. You can always
Simicass
find
is
someone.
A direct replacement.
Yeah.
Be interesting. Obviously, we're recording this on Thursday morning. It'll be interesting to see what he does in the Europa League tonight and if he tries anyone else there, potentially.
Yeah, but Simicass is on set pieces when he's there. He takes corners from there. Like, he went off early at the weekend, but that was just tactical. Like, that's not a... I don't think that that's indicative of what's going to happen moving forward. I don't think you miss out that much. Many fixtures over the next few weeks while Robbo's out by having Simicass. I think you get most of them. If he misses one, then you've got other players, because you've just wildcarded, you're going to have a bunch of other players that can come and cover that. So,
and at that price as well, if he doesn't play every single week, you're kind of a bit more okay with it, aren't you? Okay, so in terms of essential, I'm actually looking at an article that's on the PremierLeague.com website at the moment. They've done an article with Gianni Baticcio, who obviously comes on this pod sometimes and comes on the fantasy show. He is wildcarding. There is a draft of his 15-man lineup and an explainer on there about that. So if you do want to check that out, take a look if you're wildcarding as well. If you're like me, I love copying people's wildcards or just seeing what other people are doing when mine's active. And I'm looking at his team, Sam, and he's got Haaland and Watkins, and he's gone, in fact, actually, Jules, I'm going to ask you this. He's gone without Alvarez. I'm seeing a lot of people go without Alvarez.
Yes. Yeah, I know. I can understand, because he's still quite expensive in a way, especially again going back to all those options that you have in midfield. So you could just play with two up front in your team, so have a cheap third forward if you want to, then have those five midfielders, and then you can pick Saka and Bowen and have Madison and all of that, which obviously if you want Alvarez up front and play with three up front like Watkins, Haaland and Alvarez like me, you can't really do. So I can see, again, it's down to if you think that your replacement for Alvarez is better or as good as will return more, go for it. I just think that Alvarez is Manchester City's best player this season so far. As we saw, even in the Champions League, when he comes on, he scored that goal that was disallowed, but still literally a minute after coming on. So I think he's in incredible form. And considering how United have been defending lately, you would fancy Alvarez against United in the derby on Sunday afternoon too. So, of course, you can go without Alvarez. I think right now it's still a bit of a risk, like it would be a risk to go without Haaland.
So he's gone with Mbama as his third forward, because he's only priced at 4.3, which does allow more money in midfield. He's got a midfield as it stands of Salah, Son, Saka, Diaby and Mitoma. So no Madison there, Sam. He's kind of going on that side of North London. But that's a really nice looking midfield, isn't it? It mentions a lot of the players. No Bowen as well, by the way, but ultimately we've only got five spots, so you got to make some tough decisions.
You have, but I would rather have Bowen than Diaby. And if that meant having a Dingra.
Yeah, because he's got Watkins too, hasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, if that meant having a Dingra over Matoma, I'd do that to enable Diaby to be Bowen. Because I think if you've got Ollie Watkins, you don't. I mean, it's Luton, so having Diaby for the Luton game feels really nice. But I think longer term, if you think about that over a period, covering out West Ham's best player in a really great run of fixtures for West Ham is really kind of key. I think you might, a bit like I did when I wildcarded, look back on that and go, getting Diaby instead of Watkins probably wasn't my finest hour. And I think that P might feel the same not having Jarrod Bowen in there. So if it means that you have a Dingra over having Matoma, that seems okay to me with March's injury.
Okay, I'm using Gianni's wildcard just because he's one of the people that I know has got it active. And I know that there is this article on the Premier League website. So sorry to Gianni if he didn't want this revealed to even more people on the podcast this week. I've gone with it now. His defence, he hasn't gone too expensive either in terms of, he has gone Gabriel, he has gone Matty Cash, he's gone Tsimikas, as you said, Sam, then he's gone Branthwaite and Taylor. By the way, Gianni, we're not holding you to this. I know there's still a few days.
No, we
can
are.
Change it.
Yeah.
Someone who's missing from that is Kieran Trippier and any Newcastle defender. But I kind of understand that, Jules, because the fixtures are a bit more mixed for Newcastle, and especially with the Champions League. I know you were working on the goals show last night, so you'll have watched Newcastle closely. Trippier does keep returning in the Premier League, yeah. But it's hard to find the budget for him, isn't it?
It is, but you can go for Burn, you can go for Cher, you can go for Botman whenever he comes back. They've got Wolves this weekend, and for the people who are listening to us from the UK, we saw Gary O'Neill being very impressive on television on Monday night with some tactical explanations of what he's doing at Wolves, etc., etc. But it's still a good game from a Newcastle point of view. After that, you're right, it's a bit more difficult. They've got the Arsenal game, then there would be Chelsea United back-to-back, for example, and then they would have Spurs too in game week 16, I think. So I was very disappointed, I won't lie, on Wednesday night in the way they defended against Dortmund. And maybe they were just a bit surprised by how good Dortmund were. Maybe they took a little bit for granted that the fact that after battering PSG, they would do the same to Dortmund. I don't know, but they were really, really poor, I think, and way too exposed defensively. And I would think that Wolves can cause them a bit of problems, especially with quick transitions forward, with Neto, for example, with Wong too. Not maybe as much as Dortmund, but I can see in a way what Gianni is trying to do with no Newcastle defenders. I still think that the price that Dan Burnie is on, for example, and you know he's going to start pretty much every game in the league, I still think it's a bit difficult not to get at least him in your team, because they're still very good defensively when they're on top form. They were not in midweek in the Champions League, but it's the Champions League. It's not Wolves in the Premier League. No offense to Wolves fan and to Max.
It's fine, don't worry, I agree. Also, if I was wildcarding, Sam, I think looking at the price, so Gabriel, for example, is 4.6, Dan Burn is 4.7. I think I probably would actually go now for Gabriel just to have that Arsenal cover. But then that would mean no Newcastle defender, and I'm still not totally cool with that.
No, but I think when you look at the fixtures for, like you say, for Arsenal, for Liverpool, I think you're going to want those. Potentially, you'd want those defenders in now that Tsimikas is an option. I don't think you'd have gone with a Liverpool defender until Tsimikas became a thing, because they were too expensive. And I do think that has slightly skewed how people wildcarding are looking at Newcastle. When you are wildcarding, you obviously still have the same limitations of budget that we have with our transfers every week. So I can see why Trippier is really hard. It was really hard for us when we were wildcarding to have Trippier in. So we covered it out with Dan Burn, because Dan Burn had good fixtures. But with the defenders, the key thing is how many clean sheets are they going to get over a period of time? And when you're wildcarding, I'm always kind of like looking maybe 4 or 5 game weeks into the future. So in those 4 or 5 game weeks, how many clean sheets do we think that there's going to be? So Wolves, they've been scoring goals recently. So I'm not necessarily convinced that there's a clean sheet there. There's definitely not against Arsenal. Bournemouth, probably. Chelsea, Man United. Depends on which Chelsea and which Man United turn up on those games. But really then, are we saying that there's one clean sheet for Newcastle in the next 5? Because if we are, then going for a Gabriel or a Tsimikas over Burn on wildcard, to me, that's quite logical.
Okay. Any other players that we're missing from the must-haves on a wildcard, do you think there, Sam?
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered most of them. The only thing to say is we haven't talked about goalkeepers. And I think if you're wildcarding, the Areola-Turner combination is still is still the best one.
Interestingly, that is also what Gianni has, so he does agree. Okay, I just wanted to quickly touch upon budget midfielders, because we've talked about the midfielders kind of from the 6 million bracket up. But actually, as we mentioned with Douglas Luiz earlier, there's a few under that price bracket that could potentially enable us to upgrade elsewhere. Pedro Neto is someone that was on my wildcard until the very last minute and is someone that keeps on returning. I think it's not since game week 2 that he has blanked. So he has returned every single week. Jules, you mentioned Wolves before. For me, he is the standout option. 4 points in game week 9. If you're looking for a budget midfielder under 6 million, he would be the standout. Who would be the standout for you in that category?
Yeah, you're right. I think he was my differential, last week. And now he's just gone over the 10% selected
rate. Because of you.
But because of us. not just because of us, but because people see the same things that we see, Kels, in the sense that he's so explosive, he's so good. And the performance he had against City, obviously, when Wolves won that game, has boosted him massively and his confidence and his momentum as well. So Neto definitely, even if he's just above the 10%, it feels still like a differential, especially at that price. You're right, 5.8 million is, that's still really cheap. And I looked at Jeremy Doku the other day, who's only 6.5, so it's slightly more expensive than the below 6 that you mentioned. But I think Doku, even if with the Pep Roulette, you're not really sure if he's going to play or not, looks so good. And Anthony Gordon, again, we mentioned him a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, he was good at the weekend. Even he was good against Dortmund in a night that was a bit disappointing, as we said, for Newcastle. He's only a 5.6, Gordon. And I think with the fixtures that Newcastle have, maybe apart from the Arsenal one, even if that's at St. James's Park, Gordon could be a really interesting pick if you just have that budget for another midfielder.
Sam, what about you in that category? Who would you pick?
I mean, we mentioned Douglas Luiz earlier, and I think he's a really, really nice pick at 5.5. Those penalties just make such a big difference. And in the same way, Cole Palmer offers that for Chelsea as well. And at 4.9 being on penalties, returns in the last 3 now. Like, I remember when he first came in, I was like, no, Chelsea's fixtures are turning. But actually, when you're talking about your 4.9, they're going to be benched most weeks anyway, probably, because they'll be your Elliot Anderson effectively tells. So you don't necessarily need somebody that's guaranteed to start every week or guaranteed to score every week. But with Cole Palmer, you have got that as an option. The player that I really like, though, actually is one of the only midfielders under 6 million that didn't return last week, and that's Thomas Suchek, because I think at 1.2% owned, with Hammers fixtures the way that they are, he's got 8 points in both of the last 2 home games against them, 14 shots, 13 of them from inside the box, 5 big chances. Like, he's ranking 2nd under Bowen. So if you are like Jules and, you know, don't want to get Jarrod Bowen because you're upset about him, then you could go for Thomas Suchek, because he's much, much cheaper. He's a really nice option. And he's really good in the air. So we're kind of back to the Suchek, in my opinion, that we had a couple of years ago. And he's uber cheap.
He's uber cheap. But we only have 5 midfield slots, don't we?
It's so tight. Not if for you me, want to not have, for me.
Thing is, though, Jules, if you want to have Haaland and Alvarez and Watkins up top, then having a real budget 5th makes sense.
Sam, you're overestimating how much budget you get left for that 5th midfielder. Trust me.
4.3
if I could click my fingers and make...
4.3? What are you doing?
I've got Pellegrini at 4.4.
Oh, you've got Saliba, haven't you?
Yeah, that's it.
It's so tough. If I could click my fingers and make my Elliot Anderson... God love him, Elliot Anderson, because he has enabled me to get all these other points. If I could click my fingers and make Elliot Anderson a Pedro Neto, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there's a big difference still.
It's the way that my team's set up. I can go Diaby down to Suchek, and that allows me to put Archer up to Watkins. So those kind of conversations are what I've been having in my head with myself all week.
There's an insight into Sam's brain once again.
It's terrible, really.
Okay, on to, I think, maybe our favourite part of the pod now, because you guys are so good at this. A differential of the week, a reminder, a differential has to be under 10% owned. As Jules has said, his differential did so well last week that it's actually gone over 10%. Jules did send in Neto to us. He got 4 points with his assist against Bournemouth, as went for Gibbs White. Unfortunately, that didn't pay off. Neither did Sam's suggestion of Jensen, but you've had a really good run.
That was my first blank, yeah.
Was that your first blank the whole season? Wow.
Yeah. I was so annoyed.
Not bad going, actually, is it? Okay, let's see who we've come up with for this week. Jules, as you returned again last week, who do you think is going to be?
So, I mean, I've got two. I'm sure probably the same ones that Sam was thinking. It's either Tsimikas or Douglas Luiz, I think. So I'm going to go with Douglas Luiz. We've mentioned him already on the show. Naturally, 5.5 million, only owned by 6.1% of the managers. On penalties, we said it, and the way Villa are playing, they get loads of penalties because they've got those kind of players, Bailey, Diaby, Zaniolo, Watkins, who just are so good in the box and so difficult to defend against. So Douglas Luiz also does runs from midfield. Is clearly Kamara is the most defensive of that double pivot. So Kamara would always stay a bit deeper, and then that allows Douglas Luiz to go forward a little bit more, and he hits the ball so well too. So I think Douglas Luiz is a very clever pick this week.
Look at that. He's listened to the rest of the podcast and just stolen it for his differential.
What do you mean stolen?
No, I'm joking. I can't believe he is still a differential. But actually, no, maybe I can, because we haven't given him the credit he deserves, as I've said. Sam, come on then. What about you? Who's going to get you back to winning ways?
So at the beginning of the week when I planned for this, I was going to have Gabriel, but he has gone over 10% ownership now. I still think he's a great option though going into this week, particularly with his threat from set pieces. So as Jules mentioned, I think Tsimikas is probably the best option, particularly for those that are wildcarding or those that are looking to free up some budget this week. It does feel like he's nailed for that spot now, particularly, as I mentioned earlier, he started every game in the Premier League that Robbo hasn't started. So I would expect to see him starting this weekend against Nottingham Forest, and moving forward, the fixtures for Liverpool are so nice. And he's on corners, as we saw in game week 9. So I do think that he is likely to get some attacking returns over the next few weeks. Whether they come against Nottingham Forest in game week 10, we'll see. But there's potential at both ends of the pitch for him.
Okay, so that's our differentials. Best of luck with those this week. Let's move on to the captaincy then, because as I said, and as I think Jules has said, we're going to go for Mohamed Salah because of what happened last week. But I have looked at Ollie Watkins. I have seriously looked at him. He's such a good option against Luton at home. And there's quite a few nice options this week as well, isn't there? Jules, I know you said you're set on Salah. Is that non-negotiable now? Because we know you love a hover, a last minute
completely
kind of tinker.
Massively negotiable. Like any negotiations that you want, just you know, go for it. Because I really fancy Son at Palace. As we said, he loves scoring against them. Madison against Palace as well. I fancy Haaland. I fancy Watkins. I fancy Diaby. I pretty fancy pretty much everyone, to be fair.
You want to captain your whole team, mate?
Yeah, let's try, you know. Saliba, home to Sheffield United. I fancy him as well. I don't know, Kels. Jared Bowen. I mean, because you give him a goal when it's not his goal, like anything, really. I'm much rather when he was just Haaland, because he was just simple. Hey, here we go. Just keep him. We had the armband glued on his arm. And now I just, like, I don't know. I will probably pick the wrong guy, and I would do it late on Friday before the deadline. But I guess right now it's on Mose. But I doubt it will stay on him.
Yeah, the reason I'm not going for Spurs, Sam, is because they played on Monday and they played again on Friday, and I'm still worried about Son being taken off early. And we saw Madison actually come off early.
They didn't look
Monday
happy, by the way. Did you see that?
Son didn't look happy at all
to come off 80th minute.
Yeah, but I just wonder if there is, and I understand it completely from Postecoglou's side of things, some minutes management going on there when they are their two most important players, as we see them week in, week out. That puts me off those two. Does that put you off those two as well, Sam? I also know you don't like normally captaining in the early kickoff, so I'm thinking a Friday night kickoff's even worse for you, no?
It definitely applies. That's just more days to be annoyed when my captain doesn't do anything. So I'm not going for Spurs. I think we'll do well against Palace on Friday evening, and then it's a really nice rest to the following Monday evening for the game against Chelsea. So in terms of minutes, I think that's probably what was happening with Madison and Sunlight. We'd won the game, give them 10 minutes off at the end to... But yeah, they weren't happy about it, were they? They wanted to stay out there and continue. I am going Salah, I think, because the Nottingham Forest at home thing just feels like a really nice opportunity. But what I will say is that I do think Haaland will do really well this weekend. And because it's the derby, a lot of people will move the armband away from him. But actually, maybe this is the game where he goes, hello, you should have all captained me after all.
Yeah. Very good point. Is there anyone we haven't mentioned there? Maybe Saka, if you're bringing in Saka.
Yeah.
He would be nice, wouldn't he?
Yeah, really good. Or Martin,
if I had an Arsenal midfielder. In fact, if any of us had an Arsenal midfielder, would we be captaining them over Salah, Jules?
Maybe, yeah. Even Gabriel Jesus, I think, if he's fit, obviously, to play, because we saw that little hamstring issue at the end of the Sevilla game. But yeah, if you have Saka, Martinelli, well, the guard seems a little bit off at the moment in the last few games. But Saka or Martinelli, who looked really sharp again in the Champions League, yeah, of course, makes sense as well.
Actually, I should mention Jesus to you. You're kind of, you've always got your crystal ball out when it comes to Arsenal and assessing these early injuries. What do you think about him going forward?
I think it was quite reassuring afterwards.
Yeah,
you would not want to take any risk, I guess, against Sheffield United because of the fixtures coming up. We said the Newcastle game, then you will have the Sevilla home game in the Champions League in 2 weeks' time. So after the Newcastle game, so maybe you start with Eddie Nketiah and you don't take too many risks with Gabriel Jesus.
Yeah, probably a fair assessment.
Great differential if Nketiah starts though this week against
Sheffield.
Yeah. Yeah, true as well.
Very good, yeah. Risky though, does feel risky. Transfers, Sam, you described yourself earlier on as all at sea. For people that are listening to this and obviously can't see Sam right now, she's got her head in her hands. Tell us, I think you've outlined it a few times, but just give us the various scenarios that could happen for your team.
I've literally been dreading you asking me this question all week because I don't...
You write the script, you know it's coming.
I know, I wrote it in and thought, can I delete this part? I don't want to talk about it. I don't know what I'm doing. I've got Cameron Archer, who I'd really like to be Ollie Watkins. That probably means, that would mean taking Diaby right down. I'm probably taking a minus four this week. I think that's going to happen.
Go on. So what's the minus four scenario?
I either want Gabriel or Tsimikas in. So Udogi probably goes for one of those, or I maybe take out one of my other defenders. This is where it goes, Kelly. This is going to be another one of these monologues that I give because I don't know what I'm doing.
We are coming to the end of the pod.
Yeah,
just
make it quick.
I think there'll be a minus four. It will involve Ollie Watkins. It will almost certainly mean I don't have Saka, which I don't love, but I just need to get Watkins in. So that probably also means losing Diaby, which again, I don't love. But I think having Watkins against Luton is more important than having Diaby against Luton. So I think that's what I'm doing.
Okay. So who does Diaby become?
Probably Thomas Suchek or maybe Cole Palmer.
Okay. All right. Nice options. Yeah. Might have to talk about Chelsea on next week's podcast, actually, and maybe if our perceptions are changing of them. But there's definitely no time today. Jules, your transfers, as if you've decided yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really happy with the team and also I've got no money. So it could be...
Welcome to the club.
I know. It could be Tsimikas for Udogi. But again, I fancy Spurs' defence against Palace and Udogi will start, I think, the game unless Ange said something different. In that case, Tsimikas becomes a transfer of the week.
Not Jared
okay,
Bowen.
Well that...
Not
Sam,
Jared Bowen,
I need
I'm
to end
sorry.
This podcast. and on that Bowen-related note, that is definitely where we will leave it. Jules, Sam, thank you as always. A reminder, if you do want to join our FPL Pod Mini League, the code is IB3WLK. The Fantasy Show will be back again on Friday morning. That's when it goes out live. In the UK, it now goes out on TNT Sports and Sky Sports on a Friday evening. So check your schedule. Unfortunately, I don't know the schedule of every other country in the world, but it goes out somewhere. If not, check it on the Premier League website and app. It goes up there normally by Friday afternoon. Your deadline this week, don't miss it, 6:30 on Friday evening. That's ahead of Spurs' trip to Crystal Palace. So set an alarm, do whatever you need to do. We haven't had a Friday deadline for a few weeks. Jules, don't forget it. You need to have your panic around 6 o'clock on Friday.
Yeah, yeah. And just make your transfer at 5:59 on Friday, Kelly, as well.
That's all right, because that's 31 minutes before the deadline. That's quite early for me, to be honest. on that note, guys, the very best of luck and we'll be back next Thursday. Bye-bye.